No doubt most of us have in our lifetime visited a museum, engaged in their activities, or just quietly reflected upon the curated content presented to us. However, Sydney Living Museums sets itself apart from traditional museums. It enlivens, there we go, that's the word I was trying to get at. It enlivens Sydney's past with a diverse program of exhibitions and events. In the studio this morning, we have Hayden Walsh. He's a Wiradjuri man and producer of Indigenous programs at Sydney Living Museums. Welcome back to the show, Hayden. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back in the studio. There we go. So tell us, for anyone out there who maybe didn't catch our last chat, a little bit about your role at Sydney Living Museums.
Yes, my role is a brand new role for SLM. I'm the Indigenous Program Producer, and it's really exciting because I get to share, you know, our culture, our knowledge and our perspectives across all our different sites and all our different programs. So it's a privilege and an honour.
It's a fantastic thing to do, to consciously inject Indigenous and First Nations culture and knowledge into what the museum is doing. And it's a really fantastic thing, I think, that they're doing. And it's cool because you're a cool guy and we get to have you in the studio and chat to you.
Anytime.
So how does Sydney Living Museums engage with Indigenous culture at the moment? You mentioned there that you kind of inject into a lot of the different things that the museum is doing.
Yeah, and I think the first point is that internally, I think that's where it all starts. Everyone's really, like, there's a lot of goodwill, but everyone's just on board with what we're doing, which can be hard at a lot of places. But the staff are amazing, which makes my job a lot smoother. So whenever there's a new exhibition, a new program, you know, that people come and ask me for, you know, a perspective, some type of involvement, and it's really genuine. And, you know, I get to you know, put community in with our sites, people that have never really been to our sites before, and create spaces where, you know, our culture is on display and it's shared. It's not just something extra to the site. It's a part of our sites.
Beautiful. Now, in a nice little, I guess, museum-y, Sydney-y collaboration that's happening, on Wednesday you're speaking at the New South Wales State Library for Talking Deadly. Tell us a little bit about this event.
Yes, it's very exciting. It's 6 to 7pm and I'll be talking about two big issues that affect museums and education, and that's young people and, you know, the struggle that they're going through, you know, just to get through life. You know, it's a tough time being a teenager, and a lot of museums and spaces really miss that audience, as well as Indigenous communities. So two groups that museums and education groups really want to connect with, but they struggle. You know, it's easy to get the tourists, the little kids, you know, the older
school groups.
Yeah, the retired, you know, lovely couple that comes in. But those young people that come in on a day like this, they don't really come in on their own.
No.
You know, the projects and stuff that I've really been lucky to work with and develop over the last few years, I've been able to see patterns, to see what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, I'll be sharing that with, you know, the audience. And
you're so right. Nan and Pop with their little peanut butter sandwiches come in and they're loving it, but it's the kind of young adults that we're missing the market on a little bit.
Absolutely.
What do you think some of the biggest mistakes people make in terms of kind of cultural institutions when it comes to both Indigenous communities and young people?
I think finding the connection. You know, it's easy to put on a big, you know, big display and think people are going to come in for your VR or your this and that, but it's really connecting with the heart. You know, people really make decisions based on their emotions. You know, so whenever you can connect with people's hearts and show them that, you know, you're coming from a good place as well, and giving them a chance to be a part of what you're doing. I think at Sydney Living Museums and other museums that do it well is, you know, you want people to come in and really be a part of the story. You know, they didn't live there in this time, but you want them to be able to connect, and it's all about finding that connection.
It's bridging that empathy, I think.
Absolutely.
As well, between, you know, past and present, now and then, someone who is maybe different to you but similar in so many ways. And that's something I do agree that Sydney Living Museums does very well. Your exhibition with the photos, the
yes,
mug shots, that was a beautiful example.
It's
of
fantastic.
That was a fantastic example of that. What are some of the ways in which, kind of in the projects that you've worked in? I know we had you in to chat about the Whale Festival. What are some of the ways that you engaged, I guess, intertwined those aspects into that festival and the stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, well, it was a subtle twist, but in the morning I had a morning tea. before the main event kicked off. And, you know, a lot of places, they spent a lot of time and money building their, you know, acknowledgement of country, their welcome to country, all this type of thing. You see the, you know, big multi-million places spend time on that. But nothing to me is more welcoming than when you can bring community in, you can have a beautiful morning tea, you can have a yarn, people feel safe, they feel, you know, a good vibe in the place, and then it sets the tone for whatever follows. And we saw that at the Whale Festival. You know, more community than ever came to this event. And, you know, it even though it was raining initially, it was the vibe that carried through, and it was a beautiful day.
Nothing makes people happier than a cup of tea and a nice bicky.
Exactly.
I live by that rule. My mother lives by that rule. Anyone who walks into our house is immediately bombarded with tea and cookies.
So, that's how it should be.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like our mothers might be very similar in that, in that respect.
Definitely.
What are some of the things that you see kind of for the future when it comes to young people? You mentioned there that it's all about the heart, and it's all about, you know, engaging that story and that kind of emotional connection. But do you think technology does play a big role in this? Is it isolating to engage more technology for older individuals?
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky one.
It's like a weird line to cross, and it's one that I've always been really curious about, because if you go too far down the technology line, you're going to isolate, you know, Martha and George and their peanut butter sandwiches. But it can be a great way to pull younger people in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just having different options for your audience, and, you know, it's nothing nicer than when a family can come in and, you know, there's something that interests everyone, and maybe they can split up and do their own thing, or they can go together and share that joy.
Mm.
But yeah, it's not easy.
No.
And I'll be unpacking a lot of that.
Yeah.
On the talk,
but see, now this is also interesting, because this is all what's going to get unpacked in your talk, and it's all about. So is it for, I guess, people who aren't necessarily, you know, people like yourself, curators at museums and people working on programs, or is this something you think the general public will enjoy as well?
Definitely general public as well, because, you know, everyone, maybe you're a parent and you've got a young person in your life, or maybe, you know, a younger sibling. We're all connected with young people in some way or another.
And Indigenous communities
as well. Absolutely. So there's a connection to be made both ways. And, you know, I think everyone wants, you know, our youth to grow up happier and more stronger, and you know, they're going to be our future leaders. And I think hopefully nearly everyone wants, you know, First Nations perspectives and, you know, our culture to really come through and be where it should be in today's world.
Absolutely. Respected and kind of shared and celebrated.
Yeah.
I think that that's something that we need to do a lot more of here, is celebrate First Nations culture in the beautiful way that it is celebrated, I guess, in Indigenous culture as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'll be sharing about, you know, what works well in that space, which is also very tricky, and you know, and what non-Indigenous people can do to help out, which, you know, that's a lot of unpacking as well.
I'm sure there is. And that's something I've always been very aware of, is the fact that I'm not Indigenous, but I want to be like a strong supporter and a strong proponent of the Indigenous community and to create that space for Indigenous culture celebration. But as someone who isn't Indigenous, it's a bit of like a grey area almost for me. So I'm really, really interested to hear how the non-Indigenous community can do better.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, because we want more and more support, but also the, you know, the autonomy to tell our own stories.
Right,
And some people, you know, miss that line a little bit, and it can, you know.
Exactly.
It is very tricky, but
it's not about the non-Indigenous community telling Indigenous stories.
That's it.
It's about creating spaces for the Indigenous community to share their culture and tell their stories. Gosh, what about when these two worlds collide, when you get young Indigenous people? Is that like...
Yeah, that's the real...
That's the real where your like heart is, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it's where I spent a lot of my time, you know, acquiring these skills and building this knowledge, and, you know, being able to work with so many different communities and different groups of young people, whether that's the private schools that are paying $20,000 a year with the Blazers, or whether it's, you know, the public schools that are struggling with funding for
textbooks,
canteen, whatever it is, you know, and being able to work with the kids and see what they're facing. And, you know, I went through a lot of the same struggles, and so being able to use education, museums, culture to really bring them out of those darker places and build a better future.
Amazing. Beautiful. Oh, our country is in good hands with people like you at the forefront of our cultural institutions. And I got to say, it's really nice to see like young people in cultural institutions as well.
Yeah.
Like it's a really, you know, inspiring and very comforting thing to see.
There's a few of us in
there.
Yeah,
there's a few. It's good. Hayden, thanks for joining us this morning. We'll have to leave it there. Hayden Walsh, producer of Indigenous programs at Sydney Living Museum, sharing his thoughts about the role of education in museums within the context of engaging young minds and celebrating Indigenous culture. We'll pop a bunch more information on our podcast if you want to go check out Talking Deadly with Hayden Walsh. The event is free. It's at the New South Wales State Library on the 29th. That is on Wednesday at 6 p.m.